No, I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Sarah Sheehan. Sarah is an audiologist with Hidden Hearing. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Sarah, I've always wanted to ask this question. When I was young, growing up in the 60s, you know, you had lots of heavy metal bands and a lot of rock bands and that sort of stuff, Deep Purple and all that sort of stuff. And of course, my mother used to say, you'll go deaf if you keep listening to that music that loud. Was she right or was she wrong? That's all I want to know.
You know, she was definitely right.
Was she?
So noise exposure is one of the big risk factors. So definitely something that we should be mindful of. And we like to kind of give the guidance of the rule that, you know, limit that, you know, your earbud or headphone use or just even free field sound 60 minutes at a time at a level no more than 60% of the maximum volume.
Oh, even free, not just earphones. So we'll say just listening at home on your system, we'll say you've got to sort of watch that as well.
You would, yeah, just your surrounding sound. You know, we live in a very noisy world. So those sound scenes that are all around us, if we're listening to television too high or radio is too high, we should be mindful of, you know, we should love our ears and care for them and just be mindful of how much noise exposure is actually there, because that can be quite harmful. And unfortunately, that's the type of hearing loss that's irreversible.
But is there not a certain degree, we'll say at my age now, you know, a good age, as they say, am I going to have a certain degree of it anyway?
I suppose exposure to life, and as we move through life, yes, there's going to be things that will impact on our hearing, and that will happen. I will say there's no such thing as age, because hearing loss can happen to us at any stage. But we do need to be mindful of, you know, what was our exposure to ear infections, our ototoxic medications. And, you know, if we've had a very serious life illness, maybe the medication there would have been quite toxic to the hair cells, which would impact on our hearing. So, yes, there's loads of different factors as we go through life. And noise, then, you know, the concerts that we did when we were in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And like that as well, just things like there's a lot of modifiable risk factors that we can take out, noise being one of them, I suppose, like that, ototoxic medications, drugs, smoking, overuse of alcohol doesn't do our hearing any favours. So there's many contributing factors.
Sarah, you're going to ruin my Christmas, you know that. But
everything in moderation,
and especially you're coming on this is the week that Spotify sent me my years. You know the way they send you at the end of the year, they say how much you listened and that sort of stuff. Mind you, they didn't say at what volume I listened to, which is just as well. Sarah, what about children? Should we worry? You know, children on devices and they have their earphones on all the time. Should we worry about them?
You know, that's a really great question, and I'm a parent. It's one of my biggest. It's actually one of my biggest worries, especially as children are smaller and they want to drown out everything else around them. They'll actually tend to raise the volume higher sometimes than they actually need it. Or it can be a case of, I see lots of children now, and it's that trend in that area that they're going up in. And it is about kind of limiting access to that world. And listening, they're playing games, they're talking on headphones, and they're actually shouting because they're trying to talk over each other. And it's just that, you know, again, it's their age and it's their lack of awareness or knowledge in and around pause and wait for somebody else. You know, no child is going to understand that, nor should we expect them to, because they're growing up naturally. But definitely, I would often say to parents, just always keep an eye on, you know, maybe put the headset on yourself and just listen yourself. And does it seem a little bit loud to you? And just start introduce that kind of awareness nice and in a holistic manner, you know, that we shouldn't. And again, just, you know, I would limit that and say, we're going to take a break from that after a certain period of time. So whether that, it might be different in every household, it might be half an hour, it could be an hour.
Okay.
I'd definitely be mindful of it, yeah.
We'd say going to earphones, like, you know, there's on-ear, there's in-ear, there's over-ear. I get confused with them all at times. You know. Is there any difference between the whole lot of them, or are they all just as equally guilty from that point of view?
In terms of headphones or...
Headphones, I'm talking about now.
Instruments. No, I would say that's the volume range that you're going to be listening to. What I would say, I suppose, is when you're using ear inserts, so something... like an earbud that you're placing into your ear. You're now creating kind of a warm and moist environment, and then it's just for wax production, it may hinder on that. So just kind of looking after ear health again and having regular checks just to make sure that they're not getting blocked up, that you're not compacting wax back in, because your ear is naturally self-cleaning. So I would just say to maybe be a little bit mindful of that. And again, that's why it's good to give them a break and just let the air to your ear, so that you're not doing prolonged usage, you know, that you're not having these in your ears for hours and hours and hours at a time. Because at times with ear, but there's very little ventilation there. So it just creates an environment that's not normal to the ear.
Okay. Now let's take it on, Sarah. Just say I have my ears checked and I was told I needed a hearing aid. How do I make my choice after that? I've always found this very, very hard to advise people on this one.
Okay. So the clearest, the simplest answer I would say is by actually everybody's journey is completely individualized to them. So your story won't be the same as your neighbor's story, and your journeys will be very different. The best thing to do really is, and you know, we advise everybody, you're never too young to have that hearing assessment. Getting a baseline sooner rather than later is much better for you, because then you always know and you've guidance. So I would advise that you go, you have your hearing assessment, which is, you know, your hearing practitioner just takes a couple of questions in and around any concerns, a little bit of history. You would have your video otoscopy as an examination that we would do next, where we put a little camera inside your ear. It doesn't hurt at all. It's actually, most people just really enjoy that, because it's nice to actually see what does an eardrum look like? Well, here we can show you. And then once we know that everything physically there is fine, your hearing assessment is actually one of the easiest assessments that anybody could undergo. And it's really nice to get that advisory. Well, you know, where is your hearing at? Where is it measuring? Is there anything that you feel that's impacting on you? And you have to have a look at your lifestyle needs as well. And then you're going to be able to make a decision together. It's about what a person wants as well. You know, if you're very, very busy or very, very active, or maybe if you're working environment that you might be nervous of having an over-the-ear instrument, then maybe you're better off with an in-the-ear instrument. Some people, like a lot of time, our world is changing, and we live where people like technology and are getting, you know, that are quite tech savvy, or I might have a lot of meetings on Teams and Zoom calls, Skype, things like that, and I might want to stream those calls directly through my hearing instruments, so basically they can double up as headphones essentially, but now with my prescription in it, so that's much better for me to be listening to as well. So there's so many different factors there. The best thing that I could advise you to do would be you would seek out your local hearing care practitioner. You would go into them, you would let them know what your concerns are, and you work together as a team to give you the information that you need and for you to be able to reach a solution that actually works for you.
Okay. And like, there's a lot of people in Ireland, will say, who have hearing problems and don't know it.
Yes, there sure are. You know, I mean, the World Health Organization is fantastic, I think, resource to be able to look into, for anybody out there, you know, whether you're within hearing, whether you're in a healthcare field, or whether you're in general public, or you work in noisy environments and you just want to have a look in, they have fantastic information there. But hearing loss impacts us every day, and sometimes it can stop us from being us. It can stop you from being you, because when we develop hearing loss, when we start to notice things like, everybody's mumbling, but I can hear you in a one-to-one. But then when we go into that bar or restaurant, everything seems really muffled, and I'm finding it very hard, and I'm straining, and it can cause fatigue, anxiety, depression, social withdrawal. It can just impact me on my everyday, and you know that it hinders me being my best self. So with that, I would definitely say, you know, there's a lot to be said for taking care of it and being mindful of our hearing.
Yeah, because as I say, we all take care of our teeth, our eyesight, our blood pressure and cholesterol, as your bump sort of says, you know what I mean? But we don't necessarily take care of our hearing.
You know, it is, that's because we don't see it. Sure, we don't. And very, it starts off with, it's often referred to in our world as an invisible disability. And very often, actually, it's our family and our friends that will notice it more, because we might be having to repeat ourselves, or we might come in and say, oh, Mom, you know, would you mind turning that down? Or you might just see somebody's kind of sitting back because they've had enough of trying to keep up in the conversation. So it's little things like that that I think we should all develop our own awareness, not just because I think I might have a hearing difficulty, but maybe I need to be mindful. Maybe my mom or my friend has a hearing difficulty. And it is just being mindful, I think, of that whole area, because you're quite right. But I think that that has been changing over the last, I would say, probably 5 years more so, because we see people that are coming in and they're younger and younger. And I absolutely take my hat off to them, because that is the best thing you can do. There is nothing better than being able to say to somebody, you're within a normal hearing threshold, well done. And, you know, 2 years is fine to come back to us, unless you notice a change in your hearing, come into us straight away and we'll have a look at it.
I know. And you could have the scenario, we'll say, where somebody sort of, where somebody, family might sort of say, oh, Dad's become very withdrawn. And it may not be that he's depressed. It may not be that he's getting Alzheimer's. It may be just he can't hear anymore as well as he could.
Exactly. By the end of the day, he might just be exhausted from trying to stay so focused. And that is, you know, I suppose that's where hearing, I suppose, to give an analogy for anybody out there listening, you know, you put on your favorite, you know, you're listening to something on the radio and you have somebody else in the car, and either they go to talk over it and you miss what you were trying to hear. Or what if I was to turn that down to a point where it's just about audible to you, and you have to go through the rest of that, a whole day of listening to things where they're just about audible to you, then you're going to be absolutely exhausted by the end of your day. So I think even when we just put it into, you know, that practical element, then I think that's what normally people go, oh God, yeah, actually, that is where hearing would hinder me if I have to go around and listen like that.
Okay. And Sarah, just before we finish up, like, what would your general advice now to people about sort of looking after their ears and looking after their hearing and that sort of thing be?
My advice would be to anybody, I think, I would always say knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. There's never, I think the biggest thing for me when I'm working in a clinic is when I have somebody who will attend the clinic to me, and they will be concerned and they'll be worried, and there is a little bit of anxiety about even attending a hearing appointment. We go about the process and we have a look in the ear, and we might actually just find that their ear is blocked up with wax. And I say, okay, that's a little bit blocked. So what we'll do is we'll get that oiled up and we're going to get that removed for you so I can book you in, and I'll give them the details. And they're saying it's blocked. And then they get the wax out and they're coming back just for a quick checkup, just to make sure, yeah, everything is great and everything is fine. How are you? We'll do the hearing check regardless. And then we might find, yeah, you're within a normal hearing range. And that person might actually have been 2 years before doing anything because they were worried. So I would always advise people, when it comes to your hearing health, go and check your ear, that the ear canal, the physical makeup is okay. Have a hearing assessment, because you have a baseline, and then you can be guided on that baseline. It just means knowledge is power. If I do have a difficulty with my hearing, I can get all of my information, and then I'll know what I want to do, or I can take that advice on board. I can think about it. And then at least I know what my next step should be. So that knowledge is power. And I would definitely say, when people start to experience hearing difficulties, and the more, you know, as your degree of hearing loss changes or it progresses, then it can impact on life, and it doesn't have to, because there's almost a solution for almost everything now, thank God, in the world that we live
Absolutely.
In. So, yeah, knowledge is power. I think that's what I would.
That's what I'll take out of this. Sarah Sheehan, audiologist with Hidden Hearing. Look, thanks a million for taking part today, Sarah. It was a great help.
Thank you so much for having me.